You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Are you tired of the I can't mindset? The I'm not good enough mindset? Do you feel like your negative thoughts control your life? Well, you came to the right place. Because in the next 30 minutes, you will learn how to break free from the limiting mindset of anxiety, fear, victimization, depression, trauma, and self-hatred by reprogramming your subconscious mind. It's time to master your mind with Dr. Erica.
Hello, good people, and welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today is a good day. Everyone, I encourage you to take a deep breath, stop, be thankful that you are alive. Be thankful that you have an opportunity to make a difference in your life today. And so I am a daily user of CBD oil. And if you know about me, I recommend CBD to all my patients, all my family, and all my friends, because I am a living testament to the benefits of CBD oil. CBD comes from the hemp plant. It has less than 0.3% THC, which is the legal limit. It is legal in all 50 states without a prescription. And CBD does not get you high. It provides the medicinal benefits without the high. CBD has benefits for physical and mental symptoms: anxiety, depression, insomnia, chronic pain, and stress. So if you haven't tried CBD, I encourage you to try it today. It is safe and effective to assist with all physical and mental symptoms. If you'd like more information, go to hemphappier.com. For any of the services that I provide as a psychologist with over 23 years experience in mental health, go to healthyminds.expert. Again, thank you for joining me today. I have a wonderful guest. Her name is Stephanie Seinel. She is a licensed advisor, and she has been teaching financial literacy for over 20 years. She grew up on the south side of Chicago and graduated from DePaul University. Growing up as the youngest of five kids, she developed communication and problem-solving skills at a young age. Stephanie works with middle-income families to create strategies in the areas of budgeting, life insurance, and investments. She teaches financial concepts that can be easily understood and applied. She runs a brokerage in Willowbrook, Illinois, and she spends time growing her team and servicing her clients. Welcome so much, Stephanie. I appreciate you giving of your time and of your expertise, because right now in this very uncertain time of COVID and quarantine and a lot of people who are still struggling to make ends meet with loss of income and jobs and businesses, we really need this financial advice. And so I just want to say thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And so just kind of start by telling my listeners how you got involved. What's your story? And how did you get involved in this financial literacy world that is so important?
Absolutely. So I've actually started in this area while I was still in college. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. And part of it is when you go to DePaul and you don't really know what you want to do, you end up in their business school. And I never wanted to be corporate, stuffy business. So I was really searching and trying to find some things where I could build a career, have an impact, but still make a good amount of money. And I wanted to be able to provide for my family and support my family, my future family at the time. And then I found financial services. And when I first got started in the business, I was really quiet, shy, very book smart, really enjoyed research. So when I looked at, oh, wow, creating plans and portfolios and educating people, I was really excited about the research. But then I was like, oh, my gosh, wait a minute, I have to talk to people. So I was a little intimidated to talk to older people about their finances. Like, why is somebody going to listen to me who's been working for 20 years or 30 years. So I really got good at the concepts and I really got good at teaching. And so I met with people and I was blown away by the lack of awareness and just lack of understanding of some basic concepts. So I don't know, something got fired up in me where I was like, oh my gosh, I was intimidated by it. And it really flipped to, I need to reach out to more people and teach and make sure that there's some basic awareness and understanding around finances. So that's kind of the beginning of the journey.
And you know what? You are absolutely correct. I don't think that in schools, especially the elementary levels, that kids really get the financial literacy piece. And that is one of the most important pieces of being successful in whatever job or career you choose or business you choose. You have to know how to manage your money, because it's not necessarily how much you make, but it's how you manage what
Absolutely.
You make. And so can you speak a little bit on what are some of the best ways, especially during this time of COVID, where people are having to be more responsible in their spending or utilization of the money, and also in investing for the future, because this was an unexpected situation.
Yes, absolutely. And you're so right. The I went back to my high school for career day last year. And this was the first year, like incoming freshmen, when they're seniors, they're going to have a chance to get a financial literacy course that's going to be mandatory for everybody. So I was super excited because I was like, finally, somebody is teaching it. Because I think oftentimes we make decisions and we think, like, I remember when I was young, I was thinking, oh my gosh, $3,000 a month, $4,000 a month, that's so much money. I was really, like before I started working, right, I was really thinking that the money would go a lot further than it does. So the idea is what I find is most people get into some debt, get into some financial stress, and that's what really motivates them to say, okay, I need to learn this. So unfortunately, it's all of our mistakes and our life experiences that bring us to the point of wanting to become more financially sound or just a little bit more stable in finances. So I would say within this last year, people who've had an emergency fund, people who've had savings, you could really see night and day the difference between people who had a little bit of a cushion, because that's exactly what it's for. And this is unprecedented in an unbelievable time, but people who had a little bit of a cushion did a lot better. And that is what I would say is the number one thing, where experts always recommend, okay, save 10% of your income, put 10% away. But if somebody's not in the habit of doing that, it's hard to go from zero to 10%. So there's two things on that that I would say is that put the money somewhere else, especially nowadays with online banking, or if you have an app connected to your bank. If you're trying to build savings, don't do it connected to your checking account, because it's really easy to say, all right, I'm going to get on it, put some money into cushion, build some savings. And then by the time before the next pay period comes around, you're like, oh, I need that money. And it's really easy to transfer it right back to checking. So I would say find a way to put it in an online account in a different bank, just somewhere else. So that way it's not looking at you all the time. And then the other part of it is start small. Start with 1% savings, 2% savings. Every money that comes in, it's really a positive, uplifting, almost like a self-care and self-awareness and doing something that's really good for yourself. But start with a smaller percentage and then work your way up to 10%.
I like that because I think it's probably more practical, given the increase in the, you know, interest rates, the increase in the demands that people have to have with the internet and so forth, and technology. So I think that 10% probably was a lot for the everyday person. 1% I think is more doable. And I think changing the mindset that you have to save big to save, as opposed to going with the small incremental, like even if it's just $5 or $10, it's something that over time will build.
Absolutely. And that's what I think too, when people say, okay, I'm going to do better with my finances, it really seems like people are all or nothing. And then it's just setting themselves up for failing. Or even if somebody has debt and they say, okay, we're going to work on paying this debt off. I'm not going to charge anymore. And they start putting a lot of money towards the debt to get it paid down. It's really, it has to be smaller amounts in order to stick with it. So that's one big thing. Even though somebody is carrying a balance on their credit cards or they do have some debt, which most people do, it's the emergency fund and that cushion of savings is the only way to prevent future debt. So as much as somebody wants to start throwing a bunch of money towards debt, it's just as important. But also figuring out, the statistic is about 50% of people don't have $400 as an emergency fund. Their credit card's their emergency fund. So oftentimes I talk with people about getting to $1,000. Like that could be a first goal of building up some savings, getting to $1,000, and then decide from there, okay, is it $3,000? Is it $5,000? What amount is really good to have as a cushion, to have as an emergency? And focus on building that up while at the same time you have your debt on a payment plan.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. What do you think are some of the best ways to save the money? Would you just go with a standard savings account? Would you go with a CD? Would you go with stocks, bonds? What would you suggest are some good, more safe, I guess, less riskier ways to grow that savings?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because whenever somebody, actually for all the money that's coming in, whenever money's coming into your household, to your family, it's almost like giving every dollar a job, and this part of it is for housing, and this amount here is paying down debt. And then when you're looking at the savings piece of it, you're really thinking like, okay, well, what is this money for? And really the first thing is to build up that emergency fund. And when you look at it, anything that is safe, set, not going anywhere. So savings accounts, money market accounts, credit union, all of that is earning about 1% or 1.5% maybe. So you're not going to get a lot of return on it. But for the money that the job is really truly to be the emergency money, that's where it needs to be. And you're not really looking to grow the money. At the same time, I really think everybody should start right now, like start immediately funding for retirement, because of time value of money. You could look up the concept of the rule of 72, and that does a lot. It's a simple concept. You could look it up. Rule 72 and how it relates to future dollars. But looking at starting to put away $25 a month, $50 a month now, whatever time you have left between now and retirement or now and future goals. So usually we look at it as if you have 8, 10 years or longer, then that money could be invested in mutual funds. You could put that money in the market. You could let it grow. Yes, there's going to be some upshifts. Yes, there's going to be some downs, but you have time on your side. So the conversation really becomes around that like 3 to 10 year money, because money that it's not quite retirement money. So maybe somebody else is already in a spot where they said, okay, I did a good job. I built up some savings. I have some money as a cushion. Well, you don't want to just keep putting it into savings because it's not earning enough to keep up with inflation. So after that cushion money is funded, I call it like a short-term account or a life account, like everything that you want to do between now and retirement. And it's definitely a mindset shift in terms of your relationship with money and, okay, I'm going to go on a vacation and put it on my credit card and then just work on paying it off. Well, instead of doing that, let's figure out a way to find some money in the budget and then build up some short-term savings. And a municipal bond fund is a really great spot to put some like goal money. So that life account could be a municipal bond fund where you're putting money in. It's grown federally tax-free. You could do a percentage. You could do $50 a month. But that's really things that you want to do when your kids turn 10 or 5 years from now or a little bit down the road. One thing that I do want to mention as far as budgeting, what I find is that there's two things I think that create financial stress. One of them is spending money on things you think you should do versus on spending money on what your values really are and things that are really important to you. So oftentimes, I don't know if it's neighbors or society or family or friends are doing this or that, and we feel like we should be doing it too. So then we're spending money on things. And then by the time we get around to what's really important to us, there's not enough left. So I think there's some places to cut costs just purely based on value-based spending. And then you could free up some money and put it back towards things that are really important to you. But then there's some things to look at, like look at cell phones, internet, cable, look at how much you're spending on insurances and see, can I save $30 here, $40 here? Small amounts of money add up over time. And once a year, I think it's important to check those things because then you could, whatever the amount is, okay, I freed up $35, take that and put it right into savings, or take that and put it right towards the credit card so it doesn't just get absorbed into the budget and you don't even realize you had a savings.
Yeah. You know, I like the way you talk about money and the relationship with money, because I think when you talk about, you know, your value-based spending, a lot of it too is kind of like your beliefs about money and spending. And so can you talk a little bit about maybe how oftentimes our beliefs or our values are what dictate our spending, which doesn't necessarily create more wealth?
Absolutely.
But it's kind of like that instantaneous pleasure for the moment, but then, you know, not real long term.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes it is emotional, like our money spending is directly related to how we're feeling. And some people use spending as a way to try to feel better. But before that, to back it up a little bit, sometimes we're looking to have more money or trying to chasing the money side of it, where I think money is the impact, it's the effect, it's the second thing. If we spend more time like creating more value and working on ourselves and improving our self-image and everything that we do to feel good, and then we work hard, then I think the money will come. So I think it's not a direct path between us and the money. There's some steps in between, okay, where am I at now? And how could I improve how I feel, right? Because how we feel is about what we do is everything. And then to kind of stop and pay attention to that, where we are spending on certain things because of a belief, or we think it's gonna make us feel a certain way, and then we don't get the intended result, I think we have to back it up and say, okay, what am I really going for here? And how could I use money more effectively? Like I'm saying, like make it such a positive thing when you put money in savings or you open up an investment account and you're really building that up. And I think sometimes there's a deserve factor there or an allowing factor. I know for sure, especially women are giving and they want to help, and it directly relates to money too. I think we have to be good receivers as well. So that just starts with even like receiving a compliment and receiving somebody wants to do something for you, say thank you, great. That helps with attracting and building wealth actually, which sounds on surface level sounds ridiculous, but that's exactly what it is.
You're right on point.
Yeah.
You're right on point with that. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say too, the other thing that I often hear is like, oh, well, finances just isn't my thing, or money's just not my thing. And if somebody actually says that to me and you see me in person, you'll see me freak out, because we work and we live and it's just a medium of exchange, and it has to be everybody's thing because it's how we're going to get to the next level. So there has to be some awareness. And I really think that there's a lot of people in the financial industry who screwed it up and use jargon and make things more complicated than they are. And I don't know if it's because we want to feel needed, like, oh, you have to talk to me to understand this. But I really think this stuff is attainable and learnable, that maybe it's not all at once, but if you hear it a couple of times, it'll click and it'll make sense in terms of the relationship between budgeting, debt, and then investing. Because we all, like, as much as there's paycheck to paycheck, we're trying to squeeze money out, it's getting in the habit of putting some money to an investment so our future selves are going to be in a lot better position based on decisions that we're making now.
You're absolutely right. And I think, too, you talked a little about investing in yourself, because I think that oftentimes people think, oh, well, if I invest in my education or I invest in, you know, a class or something, that adds to your value. And so that is important. That is an important way to invest your money. Maybe not necessarily in those material things, but in your education or in, you know, learning more or improving yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because then we could show up better. Like we could show up better and be more present. Even sometimes you look at healthcare or like taking vitamins, something as simple as that. We're like, oh, I could spend money on this or not. But really that's investing in ourselves so we could show up better and be more and be there for our family and be more, whether it's something that we're doing self-employed or our work or our career, we're able to do a better job at it and grow in it and then grow our income. It all starts with investing in ourselves. The other thing that I didn't mention is life insurance, which is a huge hot topic right now. And there's a lot of misunderstandings about it, but I really think everybody should have a base plan in place, especially if there's somebody dependent on your income. So life insurance is really income protection more so than it ever is an investment. But when you look at it, it's just like, okay, I want to make sure we talk about all this being responsible with money, have a little bit, just have some, just to make sure, God forbid, something happens. Because the thing about it is insurability. So if something happens where you develop a condition down the road, you might not be able to qualify it or qualify for it or get it. So that's something that sometimes we don't think is as important as it is. But if you have kids, definitely have a conversation or do some research in that area too.
And you know what? You're absolutely correct. I think that oftentimes, you know, people don't talk about wills, living wills or life insurance. And that's important because when people pass, it costs money to bury the person or it costs money to deal with the legal ramifications of it. So we have to start talking about the end of life, you know, financial concerns or the wills or the life insurance, because it is for the next generation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just finances in general. I mean, I do it every day, all day long, talking about finances, but people don't. People, it's still a little bit, things aren't, you're not sharing or you're not talking about different things. So one of my goals is to help people be okay with talking about it, from having debt to budgeting to investing. And if something happens, God forbid, or if I pass away, like what's going to happen and what are my goals? And I always say too, like, if I'm going to do a good job saving or if I'm going to pay for life insurance, I want it spent how I want it spent, right? So I'm going to have a will in place and I'm going to have my wishes, my intentions known, instead of just not wanting to talk about it, because that's really usually where people fall in. I don't know, it's not a good thing to talk about or I don't want to share it. So
yeah, it's like taboo. I don't know where that came from, because money is essential. It's an essential exchange universally. And so we need to start talking more about money and how to use the money as a tool to not only better ourselves, our children, their children's children, and just the world in general. And that's why financial literacy is so important.
Absolutely. And I always say too, there's so much baggage and feelings and stress associated with it, that if we can get this money stuff, not that it's going to improve overnight, but we're taking steps in the right direction to move to the next level or to work towards our money goals. If we have some things in place, then we could show up better and be more present. I could totally tell somebody who is like overworked, super stressed out, trying to pay the bills, and it is trying to say, okay, well, let's like slow down for a minute. Let's put a plan in place to kind of reduce some of that stress, so that way you are able to not, any engagement that you have, any encounter that you have, it's kind of there in the back of your mind, or you're carrying it with you like some heavy bag, where if you have it in a plan and you know a little bit and you understand it, then I think it allows us to do everything else that we do in our lives so much better by not, and sure, there are going to be stresses and things that come up and people lose their job and they're trying to make things work. But I am a firm believer that everything works out. So whatever is going on now, between now and at some point in the future, it's going to work out and things are going to come. Like, you're heading into a storm, you're in a storm, you're out, coming out of a storm. Like, we'll work through it, and something that we never ever expected to happen before happened. And then it did. And then we're able to figure out ways to navigate through it. So just know, like, things will be we'll be able to get through this and figure out how to get to the next step. It's not, we don't have to have it all the time. We don't have to carry it with us all the time.
So where do people start? Would you say a budget is essential to starting the financial responsibility process?
Yeah, so I think it's figuring out your beliefs and your goals and your values first. And some of those words are sometimes like interchangeable, but if I, like, ideally, what would I really want? How would I really want my life to be? And what do I want to do? And it's not always about having more stuff or more things. It's just about experiences and day to day, what do I want my life to be like? And then if we could start there, then we could move on to short-term goals, long-term goals. But then I think the budget is the key next step, because then you have some awareness on what you are doing, and then you could see how much not in alignment you are. Like, hey, I'm doing these things over here, and if I say this is really important to me and this is what I really want, how could I shift the budget more in that direction? And honestly, too, sometimes it's just the ability to make more income, right? Maybe there's something we could do as a second job or a side job, or figure out something that we're really excited about and monetize it, supplement it, because I think an extra $1,000 a month would go a long way right now, budget-wise. So there's only so many things we could rearrange with the budget. If we kind of look at that as a second thing of, okay, is there a way to increase this income? Is there a way to bring some more money into the household? Then it's easier to budget too.
I love it. You are such a wealth of information. Can you provide my listeners any places or resources that they can go to kind of get started on this, you know, pathway to financial literacy?
Yes, absolutely. So there are, it depends on your style, right? There's a number of different books. There's a number of different like audio programs. And then there are some videos. So it's really figuring out like your learning style and what's going to be the most memorable for you. But before you kind of start trying to learn about it and do the research, I think whoever is in your world, it's having conversations about this. So if you're married, like talk about it with your spouse, talk it over. And people have different money styles and different ways that they go about with their relationship with money. Or even if you're single and you have friends, or it's having those conversations so you could really feel grounded in your beliefs and your feelings and your goals. And then I think it's tackling one thing at a time in terms of researching. So looking at, okay, I'm going to get good at this budgeting thing. What can I do as far as looking at the budget and freeing up money and the best tools to create a budget? So I would attack it like topically versus looking at the whole financial picture. There's some very large, there's a Total Financial Makeover by Tony Robbins, which is fantastic, but that's a huge book, and getting started with that is definitely overwhelming. So I would say to look at it and look at it and prioritize, what am I really trying to do right now, and what do I want to learn about, and then pull from different resources. Like I said, like read a book, read an article.
Right. I actually was meaning, Stephanie, where can they get in touch with you? Where can
you're so funny.
Like a website that you can give?
Or, yes. So the best thing to do is to find me on Facebook or LinkedIn. So it's just under my name, Stephanie. My last name is S as in Sam, Y, N as in Nancy, A-L. But I'm telling you, it's small doses of this stuff. So it's just...
Let me just say, Stephanie is with an F.
Yes, okay. My first name is with an F. Throw That's it. A good thing. So it's S-T-E-F as in Frank, A-N-I-E, and then Signal. And then one of the last things I want to say is investing is far less mysterious than it seems. So the market works kind of like a clock, where there's a boom, there's a downturn, there's a recession, there's a recovery. And in order for us to create wealth through investing, some fluctuation is necessary. It's just, again, figuring out your personal beliefs of how much of those ups and downs am I comfortable with, and then picking some things that match. Okay, if it goes down 5% or if it goes down 20%, like where am I in that? And then I could choose the investments that are appropriate for me and my personal like risk profile. So you don't have to be an expert in it. You could find some really good investments where it's going, it's working, and we could all advance in this whole world of money, wealth, finances. We could do it all together. So I really think it's attainable for anyone.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. I appreciate you taking your time and coming on my show. And just thank you.
Yes, I appreciate this. I appreciate the conversation. And the more I could reach out and say, you could do it, like that's the more times I could get out there and share this. Hopefully there's some belief and some hope is the goal. So I appreciate your time. And thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. Please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you next week.